Ryan and JB had divided the tools between themselves, leaving Jack free to scout on ahead of them and take out the sec men.
Time to go.
Rick looked around the empty building that had been home for a couple of days. He lifted his hand in a mock salute.
Goodbye to our freeway retreat. I shall not return.
Jack went out first, glanced all around, and beckoned to the other three to follow him into the cool, damp night. Aliyev was excited, grunting and snuffling on hands and knees, scampering around like a hunting dog, face to the ground, head twitching from side to side. The rest of the Sekhmen had drawn back into a cautious circle and watched the Mongolian tracker with a mixture of religious fear and rank disgust. Most of them were appalled and frightened by the sight of the little man. Major Commissar Zemyanin watched his protege with a pleased, far-off smile. Comrade Marshal Sarovsky would have mixed feelings at the news of the massacre. The descriptions of the one-eyed man and his unique blaster, combined with the theft of the American flag, couldn't possibly be ignored now. Nor could Grigori's suspicions be derided.
I trust that you are now convinced of my probity in this matter.
It wouldn't be long now before he could practice his hard-earned English. Aliyev looked up at the officer, rubbing his hands together in a gesture that meant he had found the trail. Despite the numbers of people who had been around the bottom of the Eisenstein steps, the track of the one-eyed man wasn't that difficult to locate. And once Aliyev had the spoor, nothing would turn him from it. Zemyanin glanced at the cheap and unreliable chron on his left wrist. It told him that the time was closing in on the middle of the night. However far and fast his prey might have run, he would still be caught and taken. Perhaps by the morning.
By the dawn's early light.
Ryan touched his tongue to the socket where the troublesome tooth had been, finding it still felt tender. But that dreadful nagging soreness had gone.
I gotta rest, Ryan. I'm sorry. I gotta rest.
Don't keep saying sorry. It's getting to be like a rad sore you have to pick at.
Okay, I don't mean to keep... I'm sorry. I guess I should never apologize. That's a sign of weakness.
For some reason, that statement brought a weak grin to his parchment-pale face.
Jack's been gone a long while, Ryan.
Yeah, quarter hour. Maybe you or me should have gone with him.
Only two Sekhmen, he said.
Could be more.
Three, four. Still, back the kid to take him. Easy.
Ryan leaned against the tumbled wall of the long ruined house and looked up at the sky. The low clouds that had dominated the night an hour or so back had cleared. The temperature had dropped, and he could see uncounted stars glittering with a ferociously cold gleam.
Yeah, I guess so. Give him another five, then I'll go see what's up.
Less than a minute later, the teenager appeared out of the darkness, waving the others to move forward. As they each put an arm around Rick's waist to help him up, they saw Jack, holding his knife, gesture toward his own throat. He repeated the motion twice more.
Three Sekhmen.
Where?
Dead, of course.
The wag was perfect. It was impossible to tell what it might have been when it started out its life. It had been modified, customized, and chopped and altered so many times that only a few inches of metal might have been original. The tires were worn almost down to the canvas, but the engine looked sound. Homemade armor plating had been fixed to the front and sides of the cab. The seat was wide enough to take all four of them, and the tank was three-quarters full of gas.
Who drives?
Can you handle it? Don't fuck around if you can't, Jack. There isn't time. Can you manage?
Sure. Four front and one back here. Easy. Where you and JB ride?
Ryan considered the question. No use having them all jammed in the cab for the breakout from the dangerous center of the ville.
We'll take the back. Watch over the sides for any sort of trap.
What if road's blocked?
Over, under, around, or through. In this case, it'll be around or through.
Wish I had a gun. I could pull my weight. Even a dying man can squeeze a trigger.
You stoop? We could have brought the blasters from the chills in the workshop. Why didn't you say anything?
I didn't think at the time. Sorry, I just didn't think.
Well, it's too late now. We gotta get moving.
When they helped Ginsberg up into the cab, his foot slipped on the wheel hub, and he nearly fell back into the dirt. Jack swung into the driver's seat, glancing once over the controls. He gestured with his thumb for JB and Brian to clamber into the open bed of the armored wag.
Ready?
Let's go.
Grigory Zinyanyan didn't waste any time with the two corpses in the abandoned workshop. He tugged Aliyev by the arm to attract his attention.
How many?
The tracker considered, finally fluttering his fingers at lightning speed in the code that Zinyanyan had taught him.
Five? Four? No, slower. I don't understand what you're... There were three, then two, then four. Is that it?
The Mongolian nodded, then slid a finger behind the dripping mask covering his nose and mouth to remove a stubborn lump of blood-flecked phlegm.
The three. Two men and a woman? One man sick, yes?
Aliyev again used the sign language, telling Zinyanyan that the woman had gone a couple of days ago. The sick man and the other had stayed, and they'd now been joined by two more men. One young and light on his feet, the other older. Aliyev used his hand to indicate their heights. Around 5'4" for the young one, 4 or 5 inches taller for the other man. Now all had gone.
I can see that for myself, you horsepond muti mongrel. How long ago? How long? A half hour. Then we are closing. Outside.
He called to the corporal in charge of the sec detail.
Keep your blundering imbeciles away from any prince out there. We're going to get them.
Jack kept the headlights dim and picked his way through the rubble of the most deserted back streets. Ryan guided him as best he could, trying to maintain a rough course to the southwest of the enormous ville. They glimpsed sec patrols, both on foot and motorized, but none came close enough to cause any serious worries for them. That was until they were well into the suburb called Nicolino. Now the roads were better maintained, busier. As the buildings began to thin out toward the country, there were fewer options to keep the wag from being spotted. Around 2:30 in the morning, with a steady rain beginning to fall, the inevitable happened. The wag shuddered to a stop, the engine ticking over quietly. Jack opened the door on the driver's side and leaned half out, looking back at Ryan and JB, who were peering around the armor plate.
Yeah, I see it.
The road, lined with plane trees, stretched ahead for a quarter of a mile. Houses scattered at intervals on either side. Just where the pavement began to bend to the right, with a silvery gleam of water visible, was a roadblock. Two small four-wheel wags were angled across the center of the road, with a gap between them of less than a dozen feet. 20 or 30 heavily armed sec men had ranged themselves around the two vehicles.
Haven't seen yet. Moment pull out from trees, spot us. Fucking light.
The teenager was correct. Their wag was parked under an overhanging bushy tree, and the driving rain had already reduced visibility. But as soon as they began to drive at the roadblock, the guards would have about 30 seconds of clear shooting at them. It was much too long. JB pointed to where the old houses stood a little closer together.
Good chance we could work our way down there, you and me. Hit those stoops from the side. The moment we start shooting, Jack revs up the wag and hits that gap in the middle.
Then we stop, pick you guys up, head for the dacha. That's the master plan.
The silence from the other three slapped him in the face.
No, Rick. If you get through, you keep going. We'll try and give you a good head start on them. That way there's a chance, just a chance, that you and Jack can make it.